It's time for our monthly catch-up with the National Federation of the Blind in the United States. We chat with Chris Danielson to learn a little bit more about the big projects, the big topics happening in the States all around sight loss. And today we are talking about voting. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thanks again for having us, Alan. Always a pleasure.
Now, today we are talking about voting, which is always quite a hot topic, especially when it comes to the accessibility of actually being able to cast your vote independently and in secrecy as well. So tell me about it in the States. How easy is it for, say, you to vote in an election?
It should be very easy. The United States has a law that was passed in the year 2006. Called the Help America Vote Act. And a lot of things inspired the Help America Vote Act, including the 2000 election and all the problems that were experienced in the state of Florida in particular with counting and processing votes. But one of the things that the Help America Vote Act does is that it says that every polling place in the United States has to have at least one voting machine that is accessible to voters with disabilities, including people who are blind and or people who have low vision. And so that solved part of the problem, or theoretically did anyway, because at least polling places across the United States have to use these machines in federal elections. Now, there are always issues. Some of the machines don't work as well as others. Sometimes they're not maintained very well. Sometimes a blind person comes to the polls and finds out that the poll workers really don't know how to activate the accessibility features of the machine, which are basically audio cues and using a keypad instead of a touchscreen for ballot marking, because most voting in the United States happens by machines, or at least is counted by machine. Now a lot of voting places have gone to the old, what they call Scantron ballots, which is where you mark your ballot by filling in a bubble next to the candidate's name, filling in a little oval, and then you feed that paper into a machine and the machine actually counts it. And there are accessible machines now that essentially have an audio and a touchscreen interface, and then they print the ballot and mark it for you. So we had that part of it sorted out, at least theoretically. But what we're working on now in the National Federation of the Blind is absentee ballots. And this is ballots that are marked by people because they can't go to a polling place, including because they have a disability and maybe can't access the polling place because it's physically inaccessible, or maybe they can't get transportation to it. But of course, technology now provides opportunities for that process even to become accessible. So what is happening in the United States, slowly but surely, is that in a few states, including Ohio, the latest state that's going to institute a system like this, and here in Maryland, I am able to actually go online to a link that the Maryland Board of Elections gives me specifically. It's a personalized link, and I am able to log in with that and actually check boxes the way you would with a screen reader online to mark my ballot. And then what happens is a file is created based on my selections. I can then print that. It looks like a regular absentee ballot that somebody would mark on paper. And then I send it into the Board of Elections. And the state of Ohio has now agreed that it will implement a system like this so that blind people in Ohio can mark their absentee ballots privately and independently. And of course, this also has a benefit because it's essentially a website, and because it can either be used with the spoken words of a screen reader or, for example, with a Braille display. It actually has a benefit to deafblind voters as well as other voters with disabilities who maybe can't physically leave their homes and go to a polling place. So slowly but surely, we're getting these systems implemented in the United States. There are, I think, three or four states that are doing this now, maybe a few more than that. And the National Federation of the Blind is going to continue to keep working until, whether you're at home or whether you go to the polling place, you're able to actually vote privately and independently.
So is this something you have to work on a state-by-state basis? There wouldn't be something overarching you could go to and say, can this be done in all the states, and it can be taken from there?
There is a federal law that says that the states have to have accessible voting machines at the polling places. There is not a federal law, however, that covers absentee ballots. And states are kind of allowed to make their own rules about absentee ballots. So we probably are going to be working on a state-by-state basis. Although one thing that has happened is that now these systems have been developed. Maryland has a system whereby people can vote by absentee ballot. As I said, Oregon is a state where everybody has to vote by mail now. But it has a system for voters with disabilities to vote by absentee ballot. Ohio will now have this system. So as the system is deployed, and it's now transparent how to design a system like this, we're hoping more states will jump on board.
We recently featured the Scottish government. They held a public consultation on accessible voting, primarily for people with disabilities, including visual impairments as well. And they were asking the public, what could they see long term, which could be the electronic system you use, and what could be done short term to improve things? Because we still use paper ballots, you have to mark with your pencil, and there are templates that when you go to polling stations they can place over the ballots, but sometimes staff don't know how they work correctly. You still have to have information read to you if you can't see large print, and perhaps are not a braille reader either. And there's still issues around the absentee voting, as you say. So there's still a way to go here in the UK. But it sounds as if, for example, for yourself, Chris, you know, you've got that independence, that freedom of choice to cast your ballot the way it's supposed to be, in privacy, and you can also do it independently as well.
Well, exactly. And, I really think that, there's a lot of concerns about voting. There's security, there's making sure that votes are counted accurately. And so actually, I think voting is one of those areas where in a lot of places in the world, including in some parts of the United States, technology has not yet caught up, because we're a little bit wary of technology. We don't want our voting systems to be hacked. And a lot of people say, well, at least if people are marking ballots on paper, it's harder for that kind of thing to happen. Well, of course, there are ways to rig those kinds of elections as well. But hopefully what begins to happen is that we are able to have a hybrid system that people can use throughout the world, where technology can help you vote. But if you need you still need the paper records of the vote for accurate counting and so forth, those can be generated. In Maryland here, for example, if I go to the polling place, I get to use a machine that has text-to-speech and so forth and a keypad to make my voting choices. But that machine then marks a paper ballot based on my choices, and it spits out a piece of paper that looks very similar, unfortunately not exactly like, and we're working on that, but very similar to the ballots that other people cast. And I just put that into the ballot box like any other voter would. If I vote absentee, I can fill in this online form, basically, where I tick the boxes for the candidates that I want and the answers to the ballot questions that are being asked. But then I print the results of that, and it looks like a paper absentee ballot. And I sign an affidavit, an oath that says that it's my ballot and that I'm the one submitting it. And I put it in the mail to my board of elections. So they have the paper record of my vote. It's not all online. Somebody can't hack into it and change it. But I've still been able to vote privately and independently. So maybe that's an ultimate solution for jurisdictions like the UK, where there's concern about maintaining those paper ballots.
Chris, interesting topic. No doubt we'll have more to talk about this in the future. In the meantime, though, if people would like to learn more about the NFB, how do they do that?
We have a website, nfb.org. NFB, of course, stands for National Federation of the Blind. We are on all of your social media. You can find us as National Federation of the Blind on Facebook. Our Twitter handle is @NFB_voice. And you can also always just send us an email if you have any questions. The address is very simple, nfb@nfb.org.
Chris, pleasure speaking with you as always. We'll catch up again next month. In the meantime, thanks for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks again for having us. Always a pleasure.